book of Psalm 119, and we're fortunately just going to read 9 through 16 this morning. So if you'll turn to that, if you have your Bible, you can turn to it. If you have the Pew Bible, it's 951. So God's Word says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word." I think this passage is a great one. I guess we're almost, over halfway through January already, right? That's just incredible. But January obviously is a new month, a new year, a new start. I'm not a guy for resolutions at all, but I think some of us try to at least initiate some positive things in our lives that we want to focus on in 2024. And I think this passage is something that we can all learn from, listen to. I think I'm probably talking to the wrong group, obviously, because I'm sure as I read this, a lot of it may not apply to you, but it's just really about reading God's word and making that an important part of our lives. Because it's just incredible to me is that, you know, whether you're a new Christian or somebody who's followed Jesus for most of your life, I think that we know that reading the Bible should be a spiritual discipline that we're committed to, right? If I were to list what are some of the things that we should do as followers of Jesus, reading the Bible is going to be, you know, right there at the top, 1, 2, or 3 probably. But, you know, if I say that, why in the world do so many Christians struggle to consistently read the Bible, right? That's what I hear over and over. Why in the world do so many Christian churches? I mean, that's what I'm thankful for this church for. And Pastor Dale has taught on this several times. Christian churches have just take such a low view of Scripture, which is just the opposite. So many pastors take a low view of his word, and isn't God's word inspired, infallible, and inerrant? That means it never fails. There is no error. It's perfect, and it's sufficient for all that we need as followers of Jesus. So it's just really crazy to me that this world, in this world, and I think probably since we had the final canon of Scripture put together, I think Christians have always struggled, and I think that's probably because of the enemy, right? Our only hope of destroying the enemy, whose goal is to destroy us, is to open our Bibles and dive into it wholeheartedly. It gives us life. It gives us wisdom. It gives us knowledge. It's beautiful. It's rich. And there's really no worthless Scripture, no worthless words from the very beginning to the very end. From Genesis to what Mike has been teaching us lately, there is truth and there is something that can help us in every single word. But the question is, how do we do that? It's amazing to me. I hear that all the time. I do a lot of work with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So when we were in Chadron, I worked a lot with college athletes. Here it's mostly high school kids, you know, and we talk about it and everybody just says, "I don't really know how to read the Bible," or "I've tried and it didn't really work out." And I think it is a little difficult and it might be overwhelming. And maybe, you know, a lot of you have tried and you're pretty good at it, but you just don't see any fruit from your labor. It just kind of seems empty or pointless. And if that's you, the book of Psalms was written just for you. This passage in 119, actually the entire chapter, all 176 verses. Hopefully today's lesson can be encouraging to those who are struggling to be consistent and committed to the reading of the Word of God. And for those of you who do open your Bibles regularly, I hope that maybe this will help you to discover even more fruit, or a way to gain more fruit as you dive into His Word. Because being one of those that tries to read His Word daily, there's some times where, man, it just full of good stuff and just encouraging and lifts me up, and I see something that I didn't. And then there's days when I open it up and it's like, got to get toothpicks to pry my eyes open, right? I usually read pretty early in the morning. Hopefully what I'm going to tell you today and that we can find in this passage is helpful for you as we read our Word, as we try to make that one of our spiritual disciplines. So I'm going to start, and you can see that in your bulletin. I'm going to start with a little background on this this book. Like I said, we all know that it is the longest one in the Bible, right? As I just said, 176 verses. Pretty incredible. When you start reading through it, you just think you'll never get to the end, but it's so good. And we do know that David is most likely the author of this chapter. He wrote many of the Psalms, and this is one that most people agree he wrote. It was written as an acrostic, and I put kind of the definition of that in your bulletin. I am definitely not an English or literature guru, so I had to study this a little bit. What is an acrostic? It's a poem in which the first letter of each line spells out a word, spells out a message, or possibly the alphabet. So this poem, it's kind of hard to believe that this is a long poem. 119 is a full poem. It has 22 stanzas, one for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Although we have a lot of good English translations to read from, if we had the original Hebrew text, we'd see that the eight poetic line of each stanza begins with the same Hebrew letter. So there's eight poetic lines in all 22 stanzas, and each poetic line of each stanza begins with the same Hebrew letter. That's pretty cool to think about that. I'd love to see it written in Hebrew so that I could visualize that a little bit. We don't see that in English, but that's the way that it, in the original language that it was written. And if we look even deeper, it appears that the number eight may relate to eight Hebrew words that appear throughout the poem, throughout this psalm, concerning its main theme. And I listed the eight out here, so that'll help you as we read through this. The eight are law, testimonies, precepts, statutes, commandments, rules, word, way, and promise. So those are eight Hebrew words that appear throughout this. And that pretty much, like I said, gives you a little insight to the main theme in this poem. They are translated English words to look for as we read through this. Obviously, David, who is most likely the author, didn't have the whole Bible, right? However, who wrote this did have the Jewish Torah, which was the law of God that was revealed to Moses, and it makes up the first five books of the Bible. So that's who the poet had to read. Whether it was Moses or then into the New Testament, Paul, these men were inspired by God, and they were empowered by the Holy Spirit to reveal through their words the character and holiness of God, so that He would be glorified through them. That's the purpose of the Bible, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament. You know, every single person who wrote down anything that was inspired by God, the whole purpose of that is to reveal the glory of God. And that's what these eight Hebrew words point us to. And I think that's the neat thing about this. And just a little bit more of how crazy this is. All eight of them occur in five of the 22 stanzas. And every stanza has at least six of the eight. That's how often they're repeated. Kind of gives you, you shake your head and go, well, I guess we shouldn't miss what the point of this is, right? As I read today's psalm, my total count, when I read through the whole book, I read 176 times one of these words was used. Meaning that on average, how many verses are there? 176, right? So on average, one of these words, of these eight words, was mentioned in every single verse. So there's repetition in here, and that repetition was designed by God through the poet to help us learn the message. If you don't get the point, then you're missing out on something. With statistics like that, it's crystal clear that the author of this poem deeply loved God's word and had a deep desire to live a life that kept his law. It's a beautiful poem written to reveal the greatness and the glory of God's word. His word should be at the core of who we are as believers. And the study of it establishes the truth of the gospel and continues to grow deeper our roots of faith in the life and the work of Jesus. Because of that, I believe this psalm contains wise words of instruction and encouragement as we strive to make his word central to who we are as believers and as a church. Again, that's, for me, finding a Bible-believing church who is truly committed to teaching and preaching the word is the key to my life as a follower of Jesus. And my hope today as we unpack this is that it can show you how to approach God's word in 2024. Again, if you haven't made any resolutions, a good one is to read God's word every single day. And love it just as much as the author did. I mean, if the author used one of those eight words 176 times, then he obviously had a love for God's law, for God's statutes, for God's testimonies. And everything in it glorified the holy word of God. And I think that's very important. Today's passage holds a few keys that help us in our pursuit to know God's word better and give us a better understanding. Because to me, anything that I can do to make it more beneficial, more helpful, when I spend time in his word so that I might know his truth better, I'm all in on it, right? Otherwise, it's empty. So the first key thing, and it's already on your bulletin, so you already get an idea here. The first thing may be obvious, but the first word of instruction given in this poem is to know God's law. You have to read it. I mean, that's not rocket science, right? I'm not a doctor of theology, but I know if you want to know God's word, you have to open it and read it. How do I know that? Just look at all the verbs used throughout this chapter, and most of those in this little passage that I just read. Just look at the verbs used throughout this chapter that indicate action on behalf of the author. And I listed those out. Psalm 119:10, which I just read. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Psalm 119:15, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. And then out of this passage, Psalm 119:31, I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. So, if you look at that, it says, with my whole heart, I have sought you. What's that? That's an action word. That means the author is seeking God. Meditate. I will meditate. Again, that's an action on the author's part. He is taking time in his day to make God's word his primary focus. 31. I don't know how many people would say this is what they do, but this is what the author says. I cling to your testimonies. You know, clinging is not a word, not an action word we use very much, unless it's, you know, you have your pet hair cling to your shirt. But that's what it means. I'm stuck to your word. I cling to it. I think about it. I long for it. I rise up before dawn. All these words indicate action on our part. That's not, you know, you're not just sitting in bed and God comes and puts the Bible in front of you. You have to get up, go to the table, and open it up. That's action on your part. When we seek for something, we are actively looking for it. When we are meditating, we are actively focusing our mind on something that we deem is important. The Bible doesn't get read unless we open it and we read it. You know, have you ever been around Christians who know just the right verse to encourage you in every situation? Maybe you share something in your life with that person, and they have just the right verse of Scripture to be able to share to you, to encourage you, to give you wisdom, to guide you. It's amazing. I'm not that way. That's something I esteem to be, because I value that very much. People in my life who have been able to do that. But guess what? Like I said, that doesn't just happen by accident. They don't just open the Word of God and it just, by osmosis, infiltrates their brain. They spend a lot of time in it, right? People like that spend consistent time in God's Word. Over and over and over, they seek it, they meditate it, and they memorize it. That's action. So this time of the year, as I said before, this time of the year, a lot of churches, I use the Bible app, YouTube Bible app a lot. Bible apps are all offering plans to help you read through the entire Bible in a year. Some, you know, it's amazing to me. I've used those before, and they're very, very helpful to help you to stay on track and know that you're going to finish the Bible in a year. And I think that's a very good goal. And I encourage a lot of kind of younger, newer Christians to do that, to get an idea of what the whole Bible is about and what it says. Some of the, you know, if you look at them, the other nice thing is it tells you what to read, and then you can just click on the bulletin point so that you know you read every scripture and that you're done with it, and then it moves on. So it's somewhat going to hold you accountable too. And you can choose to read your Bible 7 days a week. Some are 5 days a week, require a little bit more time. Some will have an Old Testament and a New Testament passage of Scripture. But here's the truth about all of them. Again, great accountability, great plan, but it's up to you. You must make it a priority. And I think that's the hardest part about reading Scripture, when people say they want to read Scripture. I know a lot of excuses that you hear, and I'm not saying, you know, again, try not to step on anybody's toes, but you must make it a priority. The things that are important to you, you make a priority for. If you're serious about knowing God's Word, you will find time for it. Isn't it crazy how we make time for everything else in our lives, but reading God's Word is something, for some reason, we just fail to do that. We can watch playoff football every Sunday, and that's okay, but the last game's over at 8:30 and maybe you're tired and you didn't read God's Word. Well, you know what? You should have gotten up earlier. You know, so there's really no excuse. If it's a priority, if it's important, you'll make it part of your day. Did you know, here's a little trivia for you, that in 2 hours, reading at an average pace, you could read through, now listen to this, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude. In 2 hours. You can read that much of the Bible in the time it takes you to watch a movie. Probably guilty there, right? That's amazing. So what excuse do we have? Granted, many of us are intimidated or feel like we have a lack of skills necessary to truly study the Bible. My answer to that is buy a study Bible. It's not that hard. Or maybe even your phone. If you don't understand it, like these pew Bibles, they have a little bit, but not much. But a good study Bible will have commentary on everything and even cross-reference that with other scripture so that it's honestly hard to finish a chapter of scripture a day if you really want to, cross-reference that and look at maybe even other translations. You don't understand whatever yours says, look at another one. So you know what? There you can use an excuse, but there really aren't any excuses. But the thing that I want you to know is that they're reading it and understanding it are two different things. And I'll kind of go back to that in just a minute here. There's just too many things that you can use in today's society with the use of the internet to not be able to do an adequate job of really studying the Bible. Now, key point here is you have to be careful of what you're using to study the Bible, right? I mean, if you don't really know and you search the internet, you have to know that what you're searching is a good resource, a truthful resource, right? You can't just use anything and everything that pops up. We don't want you using the Book of Mormon to interpret God's Word, okay? So you have to be careful with that. So that truth leads us into another truth in today's passage. And you can find that kind of under the second part here. But there is a much deeper truth revealed consistently by the psalmist throughout this poem. There is way more to knowing God's Word than just reading God's Word. We all know people who have read the entire Bible and know it very well, yet there has never really been a deep spiritual transformation as a result of their knowledge. My son had a friend in college, really a smart guy, and he'd actually read the Bible, but he was an atheist, and he probably actually knew a little more at that time than I did. For people like that, it's all about head knowledge, right? There's a lot of really, really smart people in this world that know God's Word fairly well, inside and out. But they really lack something that gives them true knowledge of God's Word. They lack the power of the Holy Spirit. They're reading it from here, not from here. For the Bible to become more than just a really good storybook, we all need God's help. How do I know that? Just look at verse 12 from our passage today. It said, "Blessed are you, O Lord." What's the next word? Teach. Teach me your statutes. We're the student. God is the teacher. Psalm 119:26 says, "I have declared my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes." 124, later on in this same chapter, "Deal with your servant according to your mercy, and teach me your statutes." And then right back to back, "I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies." It's pretty obvious right there, using this chapter to see that we are not adequate in our own ability to really know God's Word. That we have to depend on Him and His help and the way He helps us, which I preached on several weeks ago, is He sent us the Helper. The Helper is the Holy Spirit. And all the author of Psalm 119 asks God to be his teacher 11 times. That doesn't even count the times that he asks God to help him in his understanding. As we talked about in verse 125, are you seeing a central message in this scripture? We don't know the value of his word without him showing us. And we definitely can't delight in his word unless we see that it's delightful. We need his help for us to have the supernatural ability to read and value and delight in it. Otherwise, we've all read good stories, but there's books that we can all remember, but God's word is different. We are to take delight in it. The Bible was meant to be read by and through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the responsibility to open it. God has promised to help us understand it, to help us see his truth in it, help us desire it more than anything else. I get your, I'm sure you're probably saying, okay, I get your point, right? I get your point, Devin. But how is that possible? By asking him. For years, I opened my Bible and I read it faithfully because I knew that's what a Christian was supposed to do. It was not until I understood this truth that my motivation and mission in reading his word completely changed. You don't have to be a great scholar or genius of biblical studies or theology, although those are helpful. But who's your teacher? God is your teacher. He reveals himself by the power of his Holy Spirit through his word, and all you have to do is ask for his help. I've tried to make that. I don't always do it, but I 99% of the time I really try to pray for him to help me understand it before I open his word. But what I want you to do for you today is to give you advice in how we should pray as we approach time spent in his word. It shouldn't come as a surprise that when I say I'm giving you advice, it's not really my advice. The advice I'm passing along to you comes from God's word. Okay? I picked this up from a pastor that I really admire. I learned an acronym that helps me and guides me as I pray, and I use it as consistently as I can to get as much out of God's word as I can. The letters of the acronym, as I put down here, are IOUS or IOUs. That's an easy way to remember it, right? So these are kind of the basic foundation of how we can seek God's help before we read his word. That's by asking him through prayer. The first one is incline. That doesn't mean lay down, right? I advise you not to do that, especially early in the morning. Psalm 119:36 says, "Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness." So what does that mean? What does incline mean? That means an absolute surrender of yourself to God. It is admitting that by your own power and by your own wisdom, you are unable to see and understand God's mysteries. His ways are way above my ways. It is saying, God, take control of my heart so that I might desire your word, long for your word, know your word by your power. That's what incline means. The next one is O for open. And that does not mean open your Bibles. You have to do that, but there's more to it. Psalm 119:18 says, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." That this is really the supernatural part of asking God to help you read His Word. Instead of just reading words, that we pray that God would open our eyes to the wonders of Scripture so that we can see and savor its worth and its value to our lives as followers of Jesus. People who can't see the Bible as the power to transform our lives have never read it by the light of the Holy Spirit, right? Being led by the Spirit as you read it is way different than you just reading the words. And I think, you know, I say this a lot when I do any speaking through FCA. The Bible is really cool because it's funny. I journal when I read. That helps me to kind of think about what I just read and put it down into words. And it's crazy because if I look at what I wrote down about Psalm 119 when I read it 8 years ago, and then I read it, what I wrote about it 2 years ago, it's always different. Because there is a different meaning to practically all Scripture and how it applies to our lives. But we see that not through our own, because if I read, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord," if I read that 100 times, that's still just reading that. But if I use the Holy Spirit, He's going to uncover one truth one time and another truth another time according to how He wants me to grasp Scripture and how it applies to my life in that situation. That's the cool part about it, right? Like, it's amazing when you're struggling with difficulties or, you know, you've been praying a lot. A passage of Scripture may mean something completely different to you than if you're dealing with another problem. So that's the Holy Spirit who opens our eyes. I know some people that, I mean, reading is difficult for them. They're very slow readers. Maybe they have learning issues. Again, no excuse. The Bible app now comes, I push a button and I can hear it. So sometimes when I work out and I'm on the bike, I'll listen to it. And so there's no reason for some way of being able to take in God's word. The U stands for unite, and we're going to go out of 119 to Psalm 86:11. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. The word unite means to bring together for a common purpose or action. It's so easy to get distracted when we sit down to read the Bible by a million other things that are going through our mind. You know, we're thinking, what do we have on our schedule today? What bills do I need to pay? When's my doctor's appointment? You know, what am I going to do with my kid who doesn't seem to be getting it? What am I having for breakfast if I'm hungry, right? Our own flesh and the troubles of this world have a tendency to completely scramble God's word so that we receive little satisfaction from reading it. Pray that God would bring together your heart, your soul, and your flesh so that you're focused on Him as you read the Bible. Even when I pray that, it's not 100% of the time do I not think about something else. But when I get distracted by something else, God brings me back way faster. Okay? I don't just go on this train for 5 minutes. Oh yeah, now I'm reading God's word. The final S is found in Psalm 90, and it's satisfy. It says, "Oh, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." And that final prayer is kind of the culmination of all the other ones, the other three. It's simply asking God that through His word, we may be fully satisfied in Him so that we desire Him above everything else. Reading God's word through His power reveals His infinite worth, His beauty, His mercy, His grace, and His love. His word shows us that there is nothing in this world that is more satisfying than God. Because of that truth revealed by His Spirit through His word, His glory is exalted as we worship Him for the grace extended to us through the work of Jesus on the cross. Really? I can say that. Yeah, read your Bible. That's what your Bible is meant to do, is to see the beauty of God's glory. And you know, motivate gratitude and thankfulness right down here into your heart. Not here into your head, into your heart. The exaltation of God's glory is the ultimate goal when we read His word, and that we're satisfied in Him through it. Man, we should want to get up and read His word, not have to get up. Up to this point, we have learned the keys to knowing God's word better. Read it, and then read it by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what directs our understanding, and helps us to understand what God wants us to know. But there's one more key point, and that's the last one on in your bulletin. There's actually one more key point that is revealed in this chapter. Reading His word and understanding it does you no good if you don't apply it. Satisfaction in God and in His word should be evident in our day-to-day lives in a multitude of ways. How do I know this? Look at these verses again. Look at God's word and consider their application. Psalm 119:9, part of our passage today. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. The application? How can we remain faithful in our daily walk? How can a young man cleanse his way? None of us are young men. Well, there's one back there. Right? We're not young. Hate to tell you that. I'm not young anymore. But how do we remain faithful in His word? The application is we read it and apply it. Psalm 119:9-11 says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Application? How do we win our daily battle with sin? It's an ongoing, everyday thing. How do we battle it? We, by faithfully abiding in His commandments. That's what it says. I have hidden His word in my heart. That means I know it. If I don't know it, I know where to go look for it. It doesn't just happen. You have to have that in your heart if you want to be ready when that temptation to sin comes along. Psalm 119:13. With my lips, I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. When we are satisfied with the goodness of His word, guess what? We can't keep it inside. We want to tell other people about it. It's beautiful when I read it. It's even better when I tell somebody else about it. Psalm 119:14. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. When we see the value of God's word, that it changes our life, we immerse ourselves in it and soak up every ounce of God that we can from it. This is God. There is nothing we delight in more than the Bible. People who love God, guess what? Love His word. Psalm 119:29. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, our discernment of what is true and what is false is directed and found in His word. Okay? That's not the way it is in every church that claims to be a Christian church. But in this church it is. We need to know His Word so that we know what is true in God, for God. Psalm 119:37. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. There's plenty of worthless things for us to look at. If God's Word is our moral compass, we seek after things that honor Him. Psalm 119:41-42. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. There is plenty of this in the world. We are somewhat protected in this nation right now. But guess what? If we are persecuted, or when we are persecuted, I should say, we cling to the promises of His Word. His Word is what helps us have an answer to people who persecute us. That's what it says. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me. Our response to somebody, to persecution, should be out of God's Word. Psalm 119:48, my hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. The beauty of God's word leads us to worship. We lift up our hands when we read God's word because we see how great, how big, how wonderful he is. Psalm 119:50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. God's promises are our source of strength during the trials of our lives. Physical, spiritual, whatever they might be, God's word is my comfort. Psalm 119:66, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. And this kind of goes back to one I said before. His word is the foundation of knowledge for all who believe it. This is our fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay? Psalm 119:81, last one here. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. As we travel through life, you know, just look back through your life. The good times, the hard times. As we travel through this life, His Word is our greatest source of hope so that we do not become discouraged. When we are really down, discouraged, depressed, find a passage of praise in here and of God's faithfulness. It's steadfast. It's incredible. It gives us hope. So I could go on and on. I could go on and on through this psalm. It's full of hundreds of examples of what life looks like when we value and we delight and we esteem, when we're encouraged and fully satisfied by the truth of His Word. However, it's impossible to apply God's word if we don't read God's word. And it's impossible to understand His word without His help. That's kind of my condensed version of Psalm 119. In I guess that's one sentence. And you can find that in every one of that 176 verses in there. I just told you that one of those words, of those eight words, is found almost in every single passage or every single verse. If we want to be fully satisfied in God, open your Bible, pray for His help as you read it, and trust the God that He will help you, that see His word as the most valuable weapon He has given you to navigate life as a follower of Christ. I really don't know, and I'm not judging. I don't know how some people claim to be Christians but spend very little time opening their Bible. There have been times in my life I've probably been in that category. So again, I'm not judging. I'm hopefully encouraging. Because there's really nothing more important than time spent in His Word. And the tools that God gives to you that you need to hear. And that's the most awesome thing about His Word. So I hope that was helpful to you. Maybe convicting to you. And just give you some good tools as you read His Word. I have a good friend of mine that I thank all the time. He put something, social media is not all worthless, right, I guess, if you're careful. He posted a few years ago about he just had read God's Word every single day of that year. And not just you know, quick verse that you get, the verse of the day. That people count the verse of the day as reading His Word. I don't, but there's more to it. But he had spent time in God's Word, and that really encouraged me and convicted me. And I use that to be my motivation. And as I use it to be my motivation, then it became, I need this. I don't need that motivation. I need God's Word. And then I just saw the other day that he posted that he had spent time in God's Word for 2,000 days straight. And man, isn't that cool? Isn't that cool just to think about that? And so, you know, my challenge is to you, probably some of you have spent way more than 2,000 days straight in God's Word. But I really encourage you to be faithful to His Word and spending time in it and really looking for God's instruction and encouragement in your lives. So we'll go ahead and pray and wrap things up for this morning.